This morning I'm sharing on the prayer testimonies again, and I'd just like to start by saying how much I've enjoyed the series we're doing on prayer and the testimonies and talks that have been shared there. And part of my prayer testimony this morning is on encouragements and challenges I've had from things that I've learned or been heard shared so far. Part of it started when Paul Gay shared a piece about prayer, and he said that as he was preparing, that he read a book and it had challenged him on how he was praying in his quiet times, and that it had changed how he prayed there by applying what he learnt there. And Paul said that the thing that changed there was when he started by worshipping God at the start of his prayer time. And I thought, well, first of all, I remember thinking when Paul shared it, how could Paul learn anything new after all he's learnt over the years? But he obviously had. And I thought, well, if it's good enough for Paul, I'll give it a try. So I tried that in the next week in my prayer time, and I was amazed to find that it made a real difference to how I prayed during my prayer time. It made a very big difference to my attitude to prayer. After starting by praying and worshipping God, I found it changed what I focused on and what I was praying for. I found that by starting by worshipping God, I had a better perspective of who he was and who I was talking to, what he is capable of, what he has promised, and my position before him. It helped me in praying for things that seemed impossible. The disciples struggled with this when it came to people being saved. In Mark chapter 10, verse 26, they said to Jesus, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." It is our job and ability to pray, and it is God's ability to do the answering. And with God, all things are possible. One of the areas of prayer that I'm not very good at is my commitment to long-term praying for people. And I've found that what Phil shared with us in his prayer for his dad was very encouraging and has challenged me and renewed my desire to pray for people and have a long-term commitment for them, because our God is faithful. As people have shared different prayers that they have prayed and how God has answered them, I've found them very encouraging. In Psalm chapter 45, verse 3 to 6, I'll just read a few verses there. It says, Psalm 145, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of your power and your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds." One generation will proclaim your works to another, and they will tell of your power and your amazing love. One way of doing this is by sharing our prayers and how they've been answered, and our answers through God's prayer. Because I've said about how these things have encouraged me, and answers to prayers that people have shared have encouraged me, I've just got a couple of examples from my own life that I've tried to remember that have been an encouragement to me, and I hope will be an encouragement to you. First one goes way back to when I was quite a bit younger and was working, and I was wanting to share with someone that I was working with on probably a bit of a deeper basis. We shared on Christian things very casually, but I was a bit nervous to take it too much further, and someone I talked to said to me, pray to God about it and commit it to him, and then just take that first step. Take the step and God will honour you, will honour his word there. And so I prayed about it, committed it to God, and I started at work, and conversation started, and I thought, right, this is it, take that step. So I did, and I started talking, and before I knew it, I'd been talking to him for 15 minutes about things of God, and I was amazed, and to me, that was a real encouragement to me of God working in my life, and I've tried to remember that and do that thing, but the point there was that I committed it to him, and that God was faithful. The second example I'd like to share is just one when I was working in a work party in Papua New Guinea, and we were building a sawmill there, and we shifted one, and we put up a big frame, and then we had to lift up some big roof trusses that were very heavy onto quite a height. And it was out in the bush, and there's not too much in the way of cranes or things there, and we're going to make up a bit of arrangement to fit on the front of a front-end loader. And we had a prayer time at the start of each day, but we were particularly concerned about how we were going to get these up, and we prayed and we committed it to the Lord that we'd be able to get these things up and get them up there safely. And we made up a bit of an attachment for the front-end loader, hooked them up and lifted them up there. And as we lifted them up, I was on top of where they were being lifted up to, and they cleared it by about an inch, and they just fitted up there. But to me, that was something I remembered, that God knew the exact height that that had to be, and he achieved that. He didn't give extra. He knows exactly how to answer our prayers, and that's something that's probably stuck with me. For many, people can see those things as coincidences or things that just happen, but when you commit these things to God, he will answer them, and it's important to acknowledge his hand in that. Another area of prayer that I've found an encouragement to me is to have daily conversational prayer as I see God working or answering things in my life, acknowledging them. It's easy in our busy life to let the little things that God does in our life go unacknowledged. Often we can see our God's hand in large things that happen, people coming to the Lord, miraculous things, but he is just as involved in the little things in our lives and is just as concerned with those, and it's important for us to acknowledge those and thank him for it. Often when I was did shift work and I'd come home late at night, I'd look at the stars and just acknowledge God's handiwork there. And even though I'd see it many times, it's important to acknowledge those things. But there's many other things in our daily life that we might think are mundane, like our jobs. But we need to acknowledge God's hand in that and his care and concern in all small areas of our lives. Things in our friends and the influence they have on our lives, we need to acknowledge him there. So those are just a few things, thoughts from my life and encouragement that I've got from others in the series that we've been doing now. So thank you, Nigel.
Thank you very much, David. There's no greater way to build and grow our faith than to see God answer our prayers. That's gone up. That's great. Now, if it's good enough for Paul Gay, it's good enough for David Wiseman. And if it's good enough for the dog, then it's good enough for me, as you can see from the picture there. Keeping divine appointments. I initially, as you'll see in the chapel chat, advertised the talk as making divine appointments. But I changed it to keeping, because it's one thing to make appointments and it's another thing to keep them. And that's the challenge for us. Sometimes your prayer life might seem a little like this. You might wonder why God doesn't seem to be listening or hearing your prayers. And sometimes to God, your prayers might seem like this. So what I actually believe about prayer will ultimately determine how I pray and how much I pray. What I believe about prayer will determine how much I pray and how often I pray. As a Christian, I've actually found prayer to be one of the hardest things to consistently do. Much harder than reading my Bible. Much harder than doing Christian service. I have found prayer a particular challenge. And I think at times this has reflected rather poorly on the state of my relationship with God, to my shame. I am no prayer warrior. I am no prayer guru. I'm very much a work in progress when it comes to prayer. But I come this morning as someone like Paul who has picked up a book on prayer and been deeply challenged and convicted about my relationship with God and to need to change the way that I pray and how often I spend praying to God. And I really liked what David was saying. One of my personal challenges is to bring God into every part of my day, not just a time at the start and the end, but to acknowledge him in the small things and the big things as my day goes by. See, prayer, I believe, is the greatest privilege that mankind can know, to be in fellowship and communing with the holy Creator, Lord and God of the universe. The greatest privilege, and I have neglected that many times as a Christian, to my shame, and have been deeply convicted about that, to the point that I've had to come and confess before God with tears how much I have not spent in his presence, how I've lived my life in my own strength. And I think that's something I want to rectify. Prayer is a relationship. It is not just an activity. And here's a bold statement. Without prayer, we do not have a relationship with God. Do you believe that? Without prayer, we do not have a relationship with God. God speaks through prayer. Prayer is two-way communication. It's not just talking to God, it's actually listening to God. I've been guilty of this when I explain to what prayer is to children at children's programs and Bible in schools. Oh, prayer is talking to God. But I forget that that is only a part of it. Prayer is also listening to what God has to say to me. How much time do you spend listening to God when you pray? Something I have been very convicted about myself. And this morning I want to bring to you also an example of how we can have a balanced prayer life. Balanced in the way the things that we talk to God about, but also balanced in the sense that we don't just spend all our time talking at God, but we spend time listening to God as well. If you are in a relationship with your husband or wife or friend and all you did is talked at them, is that a positive relationship? Is it a relationship at all? Probably not. Something to think about. Prayer adjusts my life to the will of God, not God's will to mine. Historically, so much of my prayer has been trying to bend the arm of God, trying to get God to meet my needs. Where in fact, through praying, I should be thinking about what God's will is and how I can live that out each day. I read this book called How to Pray, and it's by a man called Ronnie Floyd. Now, I do believe he's not one of the two Ronnies. Quite a different slant on things. And a very practical book that has really, really convicted me. Developing an intimate relationship with God. And what I share with you this morning, so that there's no charges of plagiarism, comes from this book, from Ronnie Floyd, How to Pray. These are his thoughts that I'm sharing with you this morning, things that I have been trying to put into practice over the last month or so. All right. Prayer empowers us to do the will of God and to bring him glory in our lives. Put another way, there is no power in our lives if, as Christians, we do not pray. We render ourselves powerless. I think Scripture is very, very clear on that. There is no power in our lives as Christians if we don't pray, because we are effectively living the Christian life in our own strength and we're not relying on God. And I found I've had to pray the same way the disciples did in Luke chapter 11 verse 1. Lord, teach me to pray. And that's been a prayer that I've had to pray to God. There's been times where I've got down to pray and I actually don't know what to say to you, God. I don't know what to ask. I don't know how to listen to you. And so my prayer has been, Lord, teach me to pray. And here is the challenge for all of us. Here's the challenge for me. We must learn to pray according to God's will rather than treat God like a puppet who responds to my needs. And I think so much of my prayer life has been exactly that. Coming to God with a shopping list of needs because of my ignorance and misunderstanding of what prayer actually is. My prayer life has been out of balance. And it's also very important to pray with an open Bible and to pray scripture and according to scripture, because it's through God's word, through the Bible, that God predominantly speaks to us. If you want to listen and hear God's guidance and his leading, then you must pray with an open Bible. See, the truth is, God pursues me, he pursues us in a relationship. He longs for us to spend time in his presence, and he eagerly waits for me to talk to him. When I finally come into his presence, he puts me into a position where I can hear from him when he chooses to say something to me. So by coming to God in prayer, it puts me in a position to hear God speak to me when he chooses to. Prayer positions me to have a listening ear to what God is saying. To have a listening ear to what God is saying. Now, the scriptures and history is absolutely full of magnificent prayer warriors, people that have incredible examples in prayer. But I still believe that our greatest example in prayer is Jesus Christ himself. And I loved the handout that Paul had when he did his talk of all the times that Jesus prayed. Filled a whole page with little writing, didn't it? You remember that in your handout. In John chapter 5, verse 19, and the surrounding verses, Jesus gave this answer. He said, I tell you this truth, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. See, here Jesus is declaring that without prayer, there is no fellowship with God. There is no spiritual power. Jesus communicated with his Father, and his Father communicated with him. Now, if Jesus, the Son of God, saw such a need to be in communication with his Father, then how foolish and how arrogant I have been to think that I could get by in any day without doing exactly the same, committing my time to the Lord in prayer, listening to what God has for me that day. There's a saying that says 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. It makes me very weak with regard to what God can do in me and through me. So why, the natural question is, why have I not prayed more? I've known that prayer is important. I think I've actually genuinely had the desire to pray, but I have found it extremely difficult. Why has that been? Well, firstly, I believe because it is a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual battle. Prayer is the last thing that Satan wants us to do. If prayer empowers, then Satan wants to disempower. He wants to stop my relationship with God. And you only need to read Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul talks about putting on the spiritual armour, and he encourages us, because of the spiritual battle, because of this battle that happens in the heavens and the earth with authorities and rulers and Satan himself, he acknowledges that we don't have a hope unless we do it in God's strength and through prayer. And he says, pray for me, pray for yourselves, pray for each other. Prayer is part of the spiritual battle. And it's a weapon that Satan will take off us or encourage us not to do, or put things in the way of it if he can. Two sobering thoughts about prayer then. Prayer occurs when you depend on God. Prayerlessness occurs when you depend on yourself. I haven't prayed enough because I have been depending on myself. Your greatest need and your only hope for making a lasting difference for God is to learn to pray. Prayer is not an option, it is absolutely essential. So, what are some of these obstacles then? What are the obstacles to prayer? First, there is pride. Pride overestimates the power of self. We know from Scripture that pride is the root of all sin. Pride keeps us from praying because it overestimates the power of self. Pride is thinking more of yourself than you do of God. You cannot make it on your own. That is a deception of pride. That is a deception of Satan, to think that you can live a victorious Christian life in your own strength. If you think you can, then you will not pray, and I believe you will experience spiritual defeat. Secondly, unbelief. Unbelief stops us from praying because it underestimates the power of God. We're not certain whether God will actually intervene. We might not believe that God is capable of doing what we pray. Instead of believing in the power of God, we can make excuses as to why God might not do a mighty work in this case. We must believe that God is who he says he is. We must believe that God can do what he says he can do. Unbelief moves us away from prayer and away from God, whereas faith moves us towards God and towards prayer. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him." A reluctance to pray is an indicator of unbelief. And thirdly, ignorance. Ignorance overestimates the difficulty of talking to God. So you don't need a special language. You don't need to be specially educated to talk to the living God. God wants us to come to him anytime, anywhere, about anything. He desires fellowship with you. He desires fellowship with me. He's not interested in your words. He's not interested in your knowledge or your language. He's interested in your heart. He's interested in your heart. So be honest with God. Respect him, yes, but talk to him like a close friend. And you only need to look at some of the Psalms to see an example of the honesty and the way that people poured out their hearts to God. And fourthly, time. Time underestimates the value of being with God. We all have the same amount of time in the day, and we actually spend time on what we think is most important. So how important is fellowship with God to you? Time with God is essential for life, and to not pray is to have a problem with your values. You just don't deem God worthy of your time and not important enough to spend time with. Time with God is a worthwhile investment. The Bible tells us that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Prayer is our means of spending time with God, isn't it? It's the way we express ourselves to him. How much time do you spend with God? Is he important to you? And I think probably there's a fifth one, which I said at the start. Another obstacle to prayer is underestimating the power of the enemy. Underestimating the spiritual battle that rages. So we've got effectively five things, five obstacles that we need to think about. So effective prayer then. Effective prayer, as I said, balanced prayer, I said at the start, occurs when you both talk to God and listen to what God is saying to you. Prayer is, and I'll say it again, a relationship. Prayer is a fellowship. Prayer is a privilege. So let's have a look at some of the talking principles. Talking to God. We need to maintain, obviously, a balance in what we talk to God about. And David's already touched on this. And to do that, I've discovered I actually need a structure and a plan so I don't slip back into the old habits of just asking, asking, asking. Praying for others, praying for myself. And I'm just going to share with you a simple prayer structure that Ronnie Floyd, this is his idea, not mine, suggests in his book. Firstly, Ronnie suggests that you start any time of talking to God with confession. And it actually makes sense. How can you come in fellowship with God if you have got sin undealt with in your life and expect God to answer your prayers? Sin is a barrier to answer prayer. Sin is a barrier to our relationship with God. Now, Ronnie in his book says it's not just confessing sin. He says that you should start any prayer time confessing your total need for God, your dependence on God. And that's a great thing to do, is to come before God and say, God, I'm going to spend this time with you this morning because I know that I can do nothing apart from you. God, I am inadequate. I am totally dependent on you. And so you come in humility and you come in recognition of your position before God apart from Christ. And that naturally then leads into a great time of praise and thanksgiving for forgiven sin. The way that God has dealt with you and the way that he is interested in you each day. Ask God to reveal sin in your life. Ask God to give you the same mind, the same thoughts, to see sin in view of his holiness. Tremendous way to start your prayer time. Confession. And as I say, that naturally leads into praise. Spend time expressing your love and adoration for who God is. Not for what he has done, but for who he is. Focus on some of his character and attributes. You might want to quote various scriptures and think about meditating and appreciating these things about God. Then thanksgiving. Spend some time thanking God for the things that he has done for us. The way that he's moved in your life. The needs that he's met, both physical and spiritual. Thank him for the future promises and blessings. You can spend 20 minutes praying and you haven't even asked God for anything yet. Petition. Talk to God about whatever is currently on your heart. Offer God all parts of yourself. Ask God to abide in you, to shine through you. Ask God to help you to become more like Christ in your attitudes and in your speech. And then, of course, there's time for personal requests. And then Ronnie suggests then spend some time in intercession, standing in the gap between God and others, family, friends, the unsaved people that you know, whoever God brings to mind. Often I've found that quite difficult, praying for the same people day after day or week after week, and I end up praying the same things over and over again. This is starting to get a bit repetitive. And it's been really good to go back to Scripture and find that there's actually some really good guidance there about what to pray for others. Here's an example. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. Without reading the verses, there's some suggestions there of things that you can pray for others and also yourself. To be strong in the Lord and his mighty power, to pray through the armour of God, to pray against the devil's schemes, pray for their prayer life, pray that they will declare the gospel fearlessly, pray that they will be great ambassadors for God, pray that they will stand firm in their faith. Colossians 1:9-13 is another great passage, an example of prayers that Paul prayed for the church. He prayed that they be filled with knowledge of God and his will. They grow in wisdom and understanding. They live a life worthy of the Lord. They please God by bearing fruit. They be strengthened in God's power. They have endurance and patience, and they have attitude of joyfulness and thankfulness. plenty of things there guided by scripture that we can pray for others, rather than I pray that they have a nice day or do well at work. There's some specific guidelines in scripture. What I've done, just as an example, now this is only one prayer structure, and I'm not saying in any way that this is the only way to pray, but it's something that I've picked up and started to do over the last month or so, and I have found it really, really good to keep my prayers focused. I've had a huge difficulty with sitting down for more than 5 minutes and my mind not wandering off 1,000 places. Or halfway through a prayer, think, oh, I've got to go and do that, and I'm up out of my chair and gone, and that's the end of my prayer time. So having a structure has worked for me, because I've had issues with keeping it balanced and having the right focus, and it may be helpful to you. What I've done is I've started a prayer journal working on these exact principles, and in it I've set up 3 or 4 pages with each of these headings. Confession, praise, thanksgiving, petition, and intercession. And as I've found verses, as I read through my Bible each morning, if there's something there about God's forgiveness for sin, I write it under the confession heading. If there's something there that tells me about one of God's attributes, I write it on the page, headed up, praise. So that those days that I'm not quite sure what I'm going to praise God for, I can look back and use that as a guide for my prayers. That has been a really good structure. On the page with regard to intercession, I've got these verses written out, and I look, oh, actually that would be a really good thing to pray for so-and-so today. That's really relevant. And I know that I'm praying according to God's will in Scripture. My prayers have been guided by Scripture. So that's just a little thing that I've been doing. Now, it has meant some adjustments, because I'm not able to now pray to God in 5 minutes at the end of my Bible reading. It's now taking 45 minutes, and I'm having to get up earlier in the morning, which means I'm having to go to bed earlier at night, which means I'm actually having to watch less TV. And so it actually comes at a sacrifice, but I have been convicted that spending time with God is the greatest privilege and the most important thing that I can do. So those things, hopefully, I can keep in the habit. And it's a bit of a risk me sharing that with you now, because you're going to ask me how my prayer times go, and you can come and ask, check my journal, and hopefully in a month I'm still in the habit. Hopefully. Do that. That'll be great. Be accountable. Okay, then. Okay, moving on to the listening principles. The listening principles. You actually need to be prepared to be still and quiet before God. To actually allow God to speak to you from His Word. And as I say, my prayer time is part of my Bible reading, and my prayers are dictated by what I read that day. But I need to actually stop and think about what I'm reading, and I need to ask God to show me what He is saying to me that day. Because if I don't listen, I'm probably not going to hear God's leading. An open Bible should always accompany a bended knee. It also shows that you're expecting to hear from God. Pray with the expectation that God will speak to you. He wants to speak to you. Okay, that's not just a wishful thing. Actually start believing it in faith. Ask yourself, well, what is God saying to me today? What is He saying to me? I've had to discipline my mind to stay focused in prayer, that I can do that, that it doesn't just wander off to what I'm going to do that afternoon or the 10 jobs on my list. Sometimes it requires a change of scenery. Go for a walk or a drive. And actually just think about God when you're doing that. God wants to speak into your life. The second listening principle is to not be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. God works in His own time. just because you've taken half an hour of your day to talk to God doesn't mean he's going to talk to you right there. So you need to not be in a hurry with God, but you need to be prepared to hear from him when he is ready to speak to you. We do everything in a hurry today, don't we? You can get things instantly, but we can't hurry our time with God and expect him to fit into our schedule. So wait upon the Lord. Don't be in a hurry. And spend various seasons of your life with God. You may need to set aside special time to be alone with God. Now that's particularly scary if you don't have a good relationship with him, or if you're not used to spending time with him. It's hard to spend periods of time with a stranger. Conversation is awkward, usually. It may require a personal retreat away from distractions. You may need to take a morning out to go for a drive and sit in the hills. Or you may decide to put aside 2 or 3 days where you put, you know, the first 2 hours of that day aside to spend time just listening to what God might have to say to you from his word. Prayer is talking and it's listening. Which is more important, talking or listening? What you say to God or what God says to you? See, what you actually say to God in the end is ultimately going to be affected by what God says to you in your life. And this is what prayer is all about, isn't it? God actually gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. So we should probably listen twice as much as we talk. They say that's good advice for life. It's also probably good advice for praying. Now, having a meaningful time with God each day, we know that that is the absolute basics of Christianity. And many Christians, I believe, neglect that very basic thing of spending time with God. And they will face, and I will, if I do it, face spiritual defeat. When we become too busy to spend time with God, we have become deceived. Whenever a sports team is defeated on the field, you'll inevitably hear the coach say, we just have to get back to the basics. And I think often that's the same with Christianity, isn't it? We can make it so complicated, where in fact the basics is that core relationship with God through prayer and Bible study. The only way to experience spiritual power, the only way to experience spiritual direction, and the only way to experience spiritual purpose is to have a meaningful time with God daily. Ronnie, in his book, says, make it your goal. Develop the habit. It's the only way to defeat Satan. The only way to make our families and churches to function properly is for us to have a meaningful time with God daily. Do you truly believe that? I'm becoming more and more convinced. More and more convinced. So what else helps? Have a special time. If God is really important to you, make it the first thing you do every day. A special place where you don't have distractions. I'm now having to go and shut myself in the kitchen rather than do it in bed because I find that I fall asleep. But to now sit up at a table and spread my books out and my journal and my Bible, that's working better for me. May not work for you. Have a special plan. This is very structured what I've shared with you, but it's a practical thing that's worked for me. I've needed it. You may not need something so structured, but it's a suggestion. Have a special book. Well, that's the Bible, obviously. And a special letter. Something I haven't started doing, but Ronnie suggests in his book again that you might want to start writing a simple letter to God. Write your prayer out. And there's something about the way you think through when you write stuff that enables you to put it before God. Make it a special goal. If you don't do anything else as a Christian, then spend time in prayer and reading God's word. And I'm sure the other things will actually start falling into place anyway. What are the results? Just to finish, the results are spiritual power, spiritual direction, and spiritual purpose. I've handed you out some notes there in your chapel chat, which has outlined some of those talking and listening principles. And that might be something that you can just, next time you pray, try working through that process and just see what that does for the way that you commune with God. Let's just pray. Great. Lord God, I just am so thankful that you don't leave us to live this Christian life on our own. Lord, again, we acknowledge that we can do nothing apart from you. Lord, in our own strength we can achieve so much, but to know true empowerment and purpose and direction, Lord, we need to, as Jesus did, commune with you and also listen to your leading. Father, I just pray that you would continue to convict us about how much time we spend doing this, to truly make you our Lord and our Master. Father, we thank you for your desire to spend time with us each day. And Lord, just may that be something that we desire to do with you in return. Father, help us not just to talk at you, but to spend time listening and to be led by your word. And Father, we look forward to the way that you will change us as a result, for your glory and for your good. Lord, as the disciples prayed, and I pray it again, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well,